I'm very well.
Very good.
Much better now.
Right. So, make a start. Sorry, I'm a few minutes late. I was looking for a room. You're duly summoned to attend this meeting, councillors. And as ever, we welcome observers to the meeting of the council. The meeting is being recorded and the recording will be published. This is not a public meeting, but a meeting of the council held in public.
Yes, so that was what we put on the agenda, wasn't it? That was to hope that you didn't then have to read that out. So there's the agenda. Oh, it's a lot of kids, isn't it? But there's the agenda with the regular stuff on it. And there's the chair's announcements for you.
Thank you. So for those of you who don't know, my name is Jack Norman. I'm the chair of the parish council. The formal part of my welcome has been included in the agenda, and we take it as read, and I'd like to take this opportunity to thank my fellow councillors for making the time to attend and welcome everybody this evening.
Okay, so the next thing is declarations of
interest.
Apologies, you're right, it is apologies. Councillors Morford, Mitchell, Dominey, and
Faulkner
have sent their apologies, thank you, and no absences require approval.
Thank you. Declarations of interest.
Absolutely. I've received no updates from councillors concerning their register of interests, and just remind councillors they have 28 days to lodge any changes. And I've received no requests for dispensation. In connection to items on the agenda for tonight, Councillor Robinson has informed me that he will not be voting on any planning applications, as he considers that there wasn't proper debate around the applications, and he says that none of his emails to the planning group were acknowledged or responded to. He will leave the room for the item concerning his pecuniary interest, the poultry farm. He'll not be voting on the motions concerning the pavement licence applications for the Great House, as he's a regular user of those facilities, but he will be remaining in the room. He then comments that he publicly supports and shares the posts of the Lavenham Preschool through social media, and so will not be voting on their grant application, but will not leave the room. He adds that his name is attached to the application of the Lavenham Community Hub for charitable status, and so he will leave the room and indeed therefore not vote for this item. Having been informed that he's considered to have a disclosable interest in the Lavenham community allotments, he will leave the room and not vote for that item. And he then comments that with respect to the application from the Lavenham Woodland Project to build a wildlife pond, that since he has an Environment Agency permit to build a pond at Second Meadow of 1,000 square metres, located on the Lavenham Riverside footpath, which means it will be fully accessible all year round, he says, as this may be perceived as a disclosable interest, he will leave that room for the item. Councillors Ranzetta and Norman have informed me that they will leave the room for the De Vere House is discussed, and I think Councillor Norman, you'll need to ask another councillor to chair the meeting for that item. So last part of this, do any councillors need to declare any interests concerning tonight's agenda, of which I'm not aware, haven't read out? And then second question, or updates to their interest that I'm not aware of. No. Thank you all. So that would be items 2 and 3, declarations of interest and requests for dispensations dealt with.
Okay. item 4, to approve the minutes of the previous meeting. Can you go off a bit, please, Ian? Just a tash.
So, the minutes obviously were distributed several weeks ago together with the recording, and I've received no request to change the minutes. That's where we are with those.
My group have got point about the minutes. We put in there about the FY we had a while ago, and you clearly state that we didn't have any involvement in it at all. At the end of the day, we were informed by the chair at the time that the we object to the fact that you put into print that we didn't help. My honourable secretary.
Hang on, in the minutes of the last meeting.
That's what you were putting from there.
Which bit are we referring to? Which page of the minutes are we referring to? Take them over. So the first page, are you saying you can't get them up?
It's slower than that.
Okay, so
is this from the last meeting?
I don't think the FOI was referred to in these minutes. I really do not.
Is that in the new draft minutes that we're now approving? Or is that from...
Can Carol show it? Because he's got it there. Okay, Carol, can you... Yeah.
7127024. 8.
So in the clerk's report...
In the clerk's report, it says that further down in the paragraph... It says FOI request, which was not 1500, as feared, it was about 1000.
Yes.
Most importantly, it's been resolved. And then it says, including a request for any emails to and from non-council members of the neighbourhood plan group concerning the design of the survey, which were not supplied.
Which were not supplied to the requester. Absolutely, that's not a comment about the...
No. This is wrong. It's wrong. Because the question was raised of the group, and the response back to the clerk was that any correspondence was copied to parish councils. So therefore they did not have any further disclosable emails.
Yes, but my point here is that he specifically asked for emails concerning...
But it doesn't say that. Because
well,
this refers,
which word
this
would...
Refers,
which
this refers to the budget. It doesn't refer to the FOI.
So the exact words on this for councillors to understand are... The recipient asked for all copies of emails from the recipient. The requester... Please, can I speak? Please, can I speak?
No, let me finish, because you're quoting from it. I've given you the quote. Simply put, your commentary here is about the budget.
So I'm going to read the whole sentence. So the clerk told councillors that the accounts for May contain no substantial variances except the £10,000 saving because no tree work has been done. I think that's... No one's arguing about that.
Yeah.
He reminded councillors that tree maintenance is on this agenda as an individual item. That's still okay. A much less substantial variance is the cost of answering the FOI request, which was not £1,500 as feared. That sentence is definitely okay. It was about £1,000, and most importantly, has been resolved. The FOI request was resolved, including the requests for any emails to and from non-councillor members of the neighbourhood plan group, which the requester was asking for, concerning the design of the survey, which were not supplied to the requester. I would absolutely agree it needs to say to the requester.
No, this is about the budget. The whole thing is out of kilter. Because if you look...
It's a point of order. We should be having this conversation in the...
You can have 3 minutes.
Let's public
time. I'm speaking during the time. I am letting you to make it. I did ask permission. Well, I'd like to run the counter back. I think no one will get to the bottom of the person to stop. It will come to the floor.
It's on
the
screen. I didn't understand that. Yeah.
The councillors can read it.
I think he's saying it's two different subjects.
The FOI
it's two different subjects. So this is about a budget, and then the bit about how we resolved it is a separate thing.
Okay, so that sentence could be broken up into two bits, right? It absolutely could. So it could read, a much less substantial variance is the cost of answering the FO Choir request as
that
paid. It was about £1,000, full stop. I would be very happy to do that.
And then...
full stop.
And then this, and then this has been resolved. We don't need to put a bit about the rest of it.
I'm happy to delete the rest of that last sentence. Very happy.
There we go. Can we take a vote that you agree on that, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
So that it's to approve the minutes, which will end at the sentence with the words. Ian, could you go back? That will end at the sentence with the words £1,000.
Yeah,
full stop.
Full stop. I'm very happy to agree with that.
Thank you.
So now, could we have a proposal for the amended minutes, perhaps?
I'll propose. I'll second.
Sorry, I need to. Thank you. So the proposal for the minutes, thank you everybody, was that Jane?
Second.
Seconder was it Alison or was it Chris in the end?
It was Alison. It was Alison. Good. And can we have a vote, please?
Yes.
Yes.
Fair enough. We're staying.
Ian?
Agree?
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
That's fine. Thank you very much, all.
My announcements. Okay. I'm aware. Chair's announcements. I'm aware that concerns have been expressed about some incidents that occurred in the Church Street car park during the recent farmers' market. Labour Council have reported that the West Suffolk Parkal enforcement team visited it around 11 a.m. on the day and noted that it was busy, as it usually is on farmers' market day, and issued one penalty charge but didn't witness any dangerous activity. They add that no members of the public have contacted Labour concerning the incidents and that the farmers' market has been operating for many years and this is the first time we've heard of an incident like this. A Labour representative will attend the next scheduled market and will report on the situation firsthand. The car park does require relining. Labour is looking at doing this later this year after the summer holiday season and will investigate the option if not only painting the parking bays but also adding marked pedestrian walkways which increase public safety. I have spoken with that's the end of that paragraph. I have spoken with most of the residents who live near the proposed speed indicator post on First Meadows site of Bren Ely Road. I went and did that last night and I spoke to 6 out of 9. Each needs to agree to the post there for the device before the price can be applied for. So I've got 6 positive responses out of 9 so far. The others were on holiday, one didn't answer, and one is in London, I believe. So until they return, I can't complete my mission. But we might have to go with the majority if somebody doesn't answer. I'm informed that Lapham Salvation Army closed at the end of July. I will be considering whether to bring a motion to council to register the building as an asset of community value. And should the building ever come up for sale, then the community would have 6 months to raise the funds to be able to purchase it.
The position with the Salvation Army has changed.
Okay.
They've closed their doors at the moment. They're going to have another meeting in September. And then they're going to make a decision what they're going to do. It's not going to up for sale till at least the 1st of October. If they are in September, do you think that's right?
If I may,
Chair?
Yes, my Councillor Sherman is absolutely right. They are on hold with that at the moment because they're looking at what they're supposed to do. As Lapham Salvation Army has always been linked recently with Rose Edmonds,
That is ending, and they're looking at whether it's going to be linked to somewhere else. Obviously, assumption is there's a close to one in various elements, but we don't know for certain, and they will be re-looking in September at what they will be doing. But I understand that the building needs a considerable amount of money spent on it.
I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate the Dye House Wood Field, Dye House Field Wood, for winning its fourth coveted green flag community award in 4 years. So that's really good for them. The judges hailed it as a fantastic testament to the hard work, passion and dedication of the team who care for this green space, ensuring that it is maintained to a high standard for visitors and residents to enjoy. Adding Dye House Field Wood has shown what can be achieved when wooded areas are properly supported and managed, and we want every community to have access, everyone in the community to have access to green spaces like this one, that are safe, welcoming, maintained to a high standard. So congratulations to everyone involved. I'd also like to take this opportunity to thank Mr. Ben St. Ledger for repairing the bench by the football pitches, and note that it has been, after they were damaged during the week, he went up and put them all back together again, which was very lovely of him. And we note, I noted that there was lots of comments about litter and that up the playing field, so we're going to investigate if a bin can be put up there to be emptied regularly. I've been advised that the pharmacy will not be open on August Bank Holiday Monday, so if you need your pills, you might need to go Saturday or have them sent, well, perhaps to Tesco's in Sudbury, which will probably be open as it's not a religious holiday. I've been made aware that, and we're putting this in. I've been made aware that councillors Lamont and Mitchell have decided to resign from the planning group. I'd like to give my personal thanks to them for their service. I appreciate the time they have both given to the planning group and work involved in preparing recommendations to council. I note that almost every application, without exception, those recommendations have been in line with the decisions made by Baker Council. The planning group only now has 3 members, so I wish to make councillors aware that I will be joining the planning group and ask whether any other councillors are interested in joining.
I'm sorry, Chair, but that again is wrong. Councillor Morford has never been a member of the planning group.
I never said Councillor Morford, I said Mitchell. If I did, it was Freudian. I'm sorry.
So was his hearing.
Yeah. I did say Mitchell, didn't I? Yeah. So, if there's anybody else.
No.
Who wants to come and hold my hand?
No.
Please let me know.
I don't think we find that very, very difficult to run a plan group, as quite honestly I don't know anybody who's got enough experience to do anything like Council of London has done over the last 4 years.
4 years?
I'll actually be on the planning group for 6.
Yeah, we will be.
Yeah, and leading it before when Tony Shepherd became a.
I don't know how anybody's going to find the time to take over from the Council of London. I really don't know where we're going. We respect you both track and plan out who's doing the meetings, and we all know that. But nobody could fault the amount of details that he puts forward the plan, and I don't know of anybody on this council who would have the time or the inclination to put that sort of effort in. That's just my thoughts. I think we're going to be very careful. We're going to end up with a plan group that's not fit for purpose.
But then we're not really, we don't have much power really in the actual final thing, do we? It's done to favour. It's just our opinion.
I still say I'm going to find it very difficult to defend a reasonable planning document through councils. I don't know whether we could bring other people in that have got that sort of expertise.
Chair, thanks.
You may speak, Janice.
So I'm just getting queuing myself up. Continue.
Sorry?
Continue, I'm just...
Oh, that's it. Yeah, I really don't know where we're going to get this expertise from. I understand Ian's point of view. 6 years is a long time. A long, very long time. But I wondered if we could maybe talk to Mr. Council, sorry, I keep on calling Mr. Long, to whether he would extend his resignation for a couple of months so that he could teach somebody in the planning group to do it the way he does. Now, I've not mentioned this to him, it's completely as new to him as it is to you people. But I think that's the only way we're going to get anything that is sensible, because Ian did it first. If Ian wasn't there, Irene, and so Councillor Mitchell would take over the chair, and we're losing two prime apples in one go. I mean, I'm on the planning group. Do I know much about planning? No. I'm in a learning curve, a lot of it.
Well, as I only received Ian's email the other day, and I'm going to admit it, I was a bit of a loss. I have struggled to write a response back. I did put that. So, over the next month or so, we'll get together and have a chat.
Yeah, I'm actually waiting, so I'm not at the next meeting.
No, I know. But when you get back, have a break, enjoy it, and then we'll have a chat.
Yeah, I'm quite specific. This will be the last time I'll be doing the presentation and the last time preparing the planning list. I appreciate what I'm saying, but I don't want to be half in, half out. I'm either not doing it or I am doing it. I'm not going to make that decision. But I appreciate what you're saying.
You're welcome.
I would like to echo the sentiments that I find the comments that you have provided us with over the years extremely helpful. I think you've done a great job. And I also think that we should respect your decision. And I need to make the point that we're not meant to be planning experts. We're just meant to be. We're here to represent what we think would be the opinion of sort of most villagers, or to see what we think would be in the best interests of the village. So we're not experts. We're not meant to be experts. We're just giving an opinion, the same as anybody else. That's my
opinion. Absolutely, that's the case. And we have local knowledge that planning officers may not know about as well. So we bring that sort of local community side to it that they absolutely appreciate.
Thank you. You may.
Councillors should be aware that Councillor Lamont has very kindly, whilst he will not be here in September, to write to me with his thoughts concerning planning applications, which is a very different matter to running a planning group. It is his thoughts, so therefore we will have the benefit of his thoughts in September. But they will be your personal thoughts. They will be your personal thoughts. They will be your personal thoughts. It goes some way to the point that you were making, Michael. In my opinion.
I'm also going to do a quick apology, is that I regret that an originally issued planning group report concerning the poultry farm application contained a reference to a non-material planning consideration, and I am to remind all councillors that the need to keep their comments on all planning matters to the material considerations. And that's
meeting, isn't it?
That's your chair's announcement, isn't
it? That is.
We're at public participation.
We are.
The rules and speech for the public participation were in the agenda, so you don't have to go through that.
So the disorderly conduct at meetings?
No, no, no. That's just a memo for you for another day.
Okay. Take it then. I don't know what's that bit.
So it's public participation time.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions?
Hi, thank you, Andrew, for inviting me to come. I am from the Butchers, and I just sort of wanted to come here to ask you as a parish, please, please, could you write to Baber and say, either can they reduce the parking charges for the coaches, because the high street is dead, and it's really quite scary. Not just me, but everybody in high street is dead. So I'd like it noted, please, if you could write to the... Oh, thank you.
We're on the same page. My book over.
I think it's both on the page.
We probably did.
Yes.
We're on the same page here. You know, yeah. We fought vehemently against the parking charges and they wouldn't listen. And we've even done a survey since that shows the downturn in trade.
And I personally, I've been serving a week off my phone, 18 coach companies.
Yeah.
And because Babe told me they had 4 responses from coach companies saying it's fine, they're quite happy to pay. The majority of people I spoke to said that they don't have to pay in Cambridge, they now have to pay here, and they have to pay when they go to Norfolk, so they're just choosing not to come.
Well, that's right. And of course, we've got free parking on Norfolk, we have this discussion earlier.
Yeah.
So it's an easy option for them to go to Norfolk and not to let them. So,
and they also said that they're at half capacity, so they've only got half the coach hall.
Yeah.
I even offered an incentive saying I would give them a cup of coffee and hot sauce to travel if they come, if we'll give the driver, amongst the businesses, it's been said that we will find somewhere for them to have lunch.
Right.
So we are trying to incentivize them.
Yeah, right. So if you could, you'll find my email address. Could you encapsulate all that on an email, and then I'll push it to the leader of the council.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, this is what I can say. I can physically come here and do my.
And I think it's the evidence that we really need. So facts about how many coaches used to come, how many are now coming. What those conversations will be regarded as anecdotal, but it's in the more facts we can get, the better. Okay, thanks.
I know, Jen, also you've suggested the idea of a banner advertising local businesses to be erected on the railings, the Baber Road railings, by the parish council office. So again, I'm really delighted that I'm going to get the two of you in the same room to move that forward.
Street,
so,
yes.
So we have Love Land Loan, which is a chapel. We were happy to pay for all our self-businesses if we could just have it up between May and October.
Right.
Yeah,
yes.
That was another thing.
Okay,
thanks so much.
Well done. So you just include that in the
Okay. Carol?
Yeah. Today I went on the Baber website. I was primarily interested in its financial position, because there was a report in today's Suffolk Free Press, you may have read, about £5 million loss on building 49 flats in Hadley, which is a bit disturbing. That led me on the same meeting, which was on the 27th of July, second item on the agenda actually dealt with monitoring matters. And what I really want to report to you is, it's quite scary, because basically in last year, ending March 26, over half of all items that were sent to monitoring to the monitoring officer in Baber came from this parish, primarily this parish council. That was half of all reports for the whole district, which is 98 or 99 parishes. That is exactly scary. The second thing is that up in the conversation of the meeting, and Lavin wasn't referred to in any of the working papers, obviously. But of course, council is new. So our name came up more than once. which again was disturbing. The officers then discussed at some length on what could be done about monitoring matters. And the prime issue that came out was training. Now, I'm not aware of any recent training that's gone on with parish council, councillors or clerk. Basically, they were saying if you were better trained, if you understood your own terms of reference better, you would then therefore save yourselves a lot of energy and not constantly be, as they saw it, in dispute. That was it, really.
Thank you. We'll take that away. Oh, sorry, Tracy.
Very briefly, I can obviously about other agenda items, but we just thought we could take the opportunity to ask this. I know we've had regular conversations with Andrew with regard to the allotment route and progress, and it was really just to highlight and ask and plead that anything that can be done to try and speed up the legal process, which I know probably rests more with the other side, but could be very much appreciated as it seems to be taking forever.
I can say that Andrew is writing weekly to chase this up on your behalf, and we're not getting a response at the moment.
May I speak?
No.
And I spoke to our solicitor this afternoon, and I said, have you received anything in recent weeks from Hartog Hudson solicitors? And the answer is none, nothing in recent weeks. The deeds were received, copy deeds were received some weeks ago. There is no draft contract has been issued, and she will chase them. And our solicitor will chase their solicitors, you know, again.
Is it just grind on like that, or will at some point something else possibly be done? I don't know what, but it just seems to be really unsatisfactory. So I think it was originally approved back in April, and
can I say
Malcolm and Andrew did so in June.
With my other hat on, right, legal is grinding. It is very painful and slow. At county level, so I just think it's across the board. Sorry, we just got to be patient.
Possibly, I don't know if there are other issues.
I don't know.
We can't get an answer.
Could I ask something?
Yeah.
The Hartog Hutton, one of their men, the owner, seemed to be very pleasant. I spoke to him. It's nothing to do with that at all. It's somewhere else, completely different. Very friendly, really pleased they built houses in Lavenham, and really wanted everybody to be involved and everything. Whether it would be worth actually
approaching
him directly, because he might be able to say to them, can you please get a move on?
Yeah.
Because he's the managing director. I can't think of his name.
Yeah.
I can find out what his name is.
Can you get me an email? Or can't talk about that we go direct to them and say, have they had anything in
the
chat?
No. He's
the email address I've got is Malcolm.
I honestly can't remember.
Is it Malcolm?
I can't remember. I met him when I was at Phil Truins.
We'll look into it. We'll look into it.
He was lovely. He was really nice.
Malcolm's always been very nice.
Yeah.
And we got very excited because there was a little flurry of activity, but it's just gone.
Perhaps they need reminding of the condition of their sound condition.
Yeah,
we had allotments.
Mm.
Okay, is that everybody? Yes? Nobody else wants? No member of the public wants to say? Okay, thank you very much, everyone. We'll do what we can. So, Paul and Margaret, you're
shall
up.
Shall we go first, Chair?
Yeah.
Thank you. Ian, is it possible to bring that report up? Don't worry if you can't, but it does now.
It's awful.
Yeah, that's the one. Size up. Thank you. So, as you can see,
here. We've got the, because of the fire, there's some seen that terrible fire at Dunsheath. They brought the cutting of open spaces, they brought 4x4 weeks. So that has now started. Not all the areas are managed as wildflower meadows, and it will take time to complete the work. So they're really going to go for the areas where it's dried out and there's not pretty much wildlife, and the open spaces are closer to houses and fences. So they're on to that, and I think that's a good decision. And I think, you know, the use of barbecues, you've got to be incredibly careful here. In terms of how we conduct ourselves when everything's really like a cinder box, isn't it? The farmers market, and now this incident, yeah, this was reported to me by Councillor Faulkner, and I've followed it up, and as the Chair's already indicated, we got a response. Matt Smith is the relevant officer. He was on holiday, but he came back to me today, and he is seriously looking at this. There were instances, but I think a couple were actually made contact with the car, and there are other instances of cars driving too fast in the car park. I think part of the thing is actually when you park, if you go in nose first and you reverse out, you've got more your view is obscured, or can be. So if people reverse in, that might help the situation. But as the Chair said, they are actively looking at pedestrian walkways, which we've got at Endeavour House car park in Ipswich. And it does seem to make people follow a certain line, and you know where the pedestrians are. So hopefully, later in the year, we'll see some action on that one. There's a free community fun day. This is next Wednesday, the 12th of August, at Bellevue Park. And it's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's free to attend.
Don't tell Robin.
And yes, bouncy castles, axe throwing, arts and crafts and dancing. So if you've got children, that might be something for me to entertain them. Then there's also another free event, which is to celebrate the work of Tom Constable, and it's 200th anniversary of its 50th birthday of his birth. They've got one of these 3D affairs where you've got a headset on and you can dive into his artworks. And that's at the Constable Memorial Hall in Eastbourne at 2:10 p.m. on 23rd of August. There's also another initiative, if you can just roll up a bit, please, Ian, on empty properties. So this is a government incentive, really, to try and recycle empty properties, really. So it's called Houses for Homes. And if anyone knows of any empty properties, the intention is to work with the landowners to get them back into a standard that they can be
livable.
Used, yeah. So, and there's the details if anyone wants to report an empty property. In terms of funding, this is very local. You can scroll up a little bit more. Thank you. A bit go down. So this has been held in London Ritual on Monday the 5th of October, and it's for voluntary community faith and social enterprises, VSFSE organisations for short. And it includes workshops and talks, etc. But if anyone is interested in funding, perhaps that's the place to be. And then one final point is the state pension age change. So, as you can see, from 6th of April 2026 this year to 2028, in March, the state pension age is gradually going to increase from 66 to 67. And so these will affect those born on or after the 1960. Everyone can use the Free State Pension Age Calculator on the website. So if you're in any doubt as to the what you were in touch with, that will help point you in the right direction. And it, also, if your records aren't up to date, you can actually input the information there to fill out that record. And that's the end of my report. And I'm happy to take any questions.
Joe, could I ask a question?
You're free to answer your question.
Okay, just wanted to ask, with the empty properties, does that also include business premises, or is it just...
As far as I'm concerned, it's residential. Yeah, residential.
I was just thinking there are loads of business premises.
Yeah,
that could be.
I could ask the question, it's an interesting question.
Which would
yeah.
make... There was a whole article yeah. in the Sunday Times recently about a gentleman who bought a redundant warehouse, basically,
yeah.
and converted it into the two shops, and then the rest he converted into
yeah.
affordable housing.
Yeah, yeah, that's a very good idea.
But he himself made a profit on it and has written like articles about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, I'll take that up.
Yeah, so it would make sense, especially for some of the places where you've got huge shops in which are just empty.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. I'll take that out. That's a good point. Thank you.
Chris?
I'm a little bit perplexed by the empty houses one, because the government have just introduced, if you evict a tenant and want to sell your house, you then can't re-rent it for a year. So there's thousands of empty houses because of their own policy.
Yeah.
And somebody needs to go back to them and say, look, this is just a ridiculous policy, because the houses are now not selling
yeah.
because Andy Burnham has said, oh, I might get rid of capital gains tax, or I might get rid of stamp duty. So now houses have just come to, and every estate agent has said the same thing.
Yeah.
It's dead.
I would suggest, because you contact our local MP, take it up with him, and go from there.
He won't
do it. Well, we'll go to much of Andy Burnham then.
But no, they are failing for their own policies.
Yes, understood.
Yeah,
understood.
And something should be said, and maybe you could say it at your level, and it might get fed up.
Yeah, okay, well, I'll certainly look at that, yeah.
Yeah.
Fine, okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. Margaret,
someone? I don't think I have anything to add. Thank you. Actually, no, I'll probably find that really quickly. And I'm talking with the other hat on at the moment as well. We have an instance of visitors putting the wrong things in the wheelie bins. And we have had this big sort of, what shall I say, honeymoon period for our recycling. And I know Councillor Sherwin's got an issue with the recycling at the moment. But I haven't got an answer to what we can do about the visitors. We have tried in certain areas to put pretty pictures on what you can put in case language is not, English language is not the first language that the visitors use, but it's still not helping. The only thing you can do if you are a business or resident who has a serious problem is you can ask for a special lock from paper to put on it, and then nobody can open the lid apart from you, but don't lose the key. That's all I'm going to say. And Councillor Sherwin spoke to me earlier about recycling and hard plastics. I do not know the answer to that one. That would be one for Suffolk County Council as to what is happening with all the plastics. But I can tell you that I spoke to the lorry driver who was removing the glass bins here for the recycling, and he was seriously concerned for his job because the amount of glass that's going in those bins is, well, on his calculations, about a tenth of what it used to be.
Yeah.
So if you still wish to see the recycling glass bins there, I would suggest that you use them. I know perhaps I shouldn't say that, you can put it in the blue bin, but whatever. But he was really concerned about his
job.
Thank you. Clark.
For the County Councillor report.
Yeah.
So Robert was unable to be here tonight because he's in SEMA tonight. He's written quite a long report. the vast majority of it relates to events at Suffolk County Council, not specifically relating to Lavenham. So I think my suggestion is that we let councillors and other people read it at their own leisure rather than me talking through it.
Okay.
If everybody's happy with that approach. So then it would be Clark's report, indeed. So, shall I continue? Clark's report. So, if we go to Ian the Graph.
No, not too far. You want to go the other way?
No, that's, I think Ian's still on the agenda there. Yeah, he's still on the agenda. You need to go down to the clerk, to the clerk's report. That's the minutes. So there's there it is. So if you could let people see the little graph on the right hand side. Right. Okay. So the news is accounts are very, very boring and quick to explain. That's the really good news. On the income side, the only significant variance is burial income. That's the second blob in that. Our burial income at the end of June was running some, let me find it, nearly £1,200 less than forecast. On the income side, it was burial income was our only issue. However, that position is very much reduced in the draft July accounts, which of course are not in these papers because July ended so very recently. And indeed, in the July draft accounts, the total income variance is a positive of £42. That is our income variance in July, is 42 quid. On the cost side, the June, the accounts contain no variances except the £10,000 saving on tree maintenance because no tree work has been done. The chair and I have not yet met with Suffolk tree surgeons who have been very busy, and we hope to meet with them next week. My only other accounting comment is that the spend on the local neighbourhood plan, which is being paid for from SIL funds, not council funds, so it's not therefore in those numbers, is running substantially below budget. But as I said in my notes here, I say I'm not aware of any reason for that other than timing.
There's another bill of £150 plus that. Why did it pay to me?
But you're about £2,000 or £3,000, and I'm not saying that that means anything in the long term. It's just, and so that's my last accounting comment, and my last cash comment is that the cleansing grants money, which we've been accruing, was actually received.
Excuse me, Mrs. Brinkley, could you keep the volume down a bit, please? We can't hear what you're saying. Thank you.
The cleansing grant money, which we have been accruing. This is the cleansing of grant money that Baber wanted to take away. We have actually received in July the whole year's amount. And actually equally as exciting, well, it was to me then, maybe I'm an accountant, is in July we received £1,000, which is the rental from Suffolk County Council for our EV charges. So we've actually finally turned our EV charges into from something that cost us money to something that's
earning us money.
That's good. Those are my.
Can I?
You can.
The street cleaning and the green maintenance. Has Water Street been cleaned lately? Because it's very dirty with moss. And do they do that?
So Water Street is in there. I did walk around there a couple of weeks ago and noticed they'd sprayed all the weeds.
Yeah, it's not the weeds. It's all the moss that's lying in the gutter on the road.
All falling off the roofs.
Oh, in the road itself.
On the edge of the road, it's really bad. And the green maintenance, is that going to be reduced? Because obviously the weather, they haven't been cutting it at all. They've not cut anything, have they, because of the weather. Can we save anything there?
So I think there are the two different questions to deal with. The first one first. Moss that's in a gutter, by which I mean where the road meets the curb, is absolutely out of our scope, is out of JPB's scope, right? It's not in their contract, because that really, really, really is a highways problem, right?
Okay.
So if you see a JPB bloke spraying some in that area. That's because they're being nice to us. Okay. It absolutely isn't in the scope.
We need to email Robert Lindsay.
And this is where we'll then get back to, you've been on Council of Wire, Chris, so you'll remember some of this. The two sprays a year, and you know, and it's all hopeless, right?
Well, it's not just the weeds, it's all the moss that's laying
on
the road.
I take it as because it's dried out off the roofs and it's falling off.
Mm.
So we need a sweep, and it might be that we haven't had a sweep because the road's been closed.
And bizarrely, this is where we get to more unitary nonsense, but more unitary nonsense. BABA are the people that send the street sweep, the sweep.
Street.
I think everyone knows the word I want. Vehicle down, right? That's a BABA responsibility. It's a Southern Highways responsibility to actually remove weeds and things in there, which is just bizarre. And then Water Street is very difficult. Again, we shouldn't take comments from the public area at this time, as we shouldn't have done earlier, according to our standing orders, but you're the chair.
It's the councillor.
Yeah, but this time there, we shouldn't. We should not take public comments outside public participation. Now, the rules are quite clear.
Okay.
But you're the chair.
I'm the chair.
Mm-hmm. But I need to make it clear.
Yes, I'd just like to overrule that because Margaret has something to say about the street sweeping.
If I may, thank you, Chairman. This was something that happened last year with all this moss that came off the roofs. Luckily, at the time, I had BABA Public Realm cutting back, which bit is it, just after the pipes were coming back towards Great Warming Field, and the sweep was coming in, and Councillor Morford and I each got a broom. We swept all the moss from the pavements, the footways, into the road, and then the sweeper very kindly came down and cleaned it. So you really need to ask BABA if they will come and sweep, but it might be, if it's on the walkways, the pavements, then it might mean that you need a broom and push it down into the road for them.
Chris and I have been here as well 18 months ago when we cleaned the areas, picked up the wards and spray them and go out and talk to them about the use.
So if we can,
I thought
comment
helpful, but
if we can have a number to contact BABA, it'll come to me, it'll come more than a minute.
It will be
ground,
public realm.
And say, you give us a date, you're coming.
We'll make sure it's ready to be collected.
That's why I was pointing at you. What was the second part of the question?
The second part was whether we can reduce the dross for the green cutting, because they just haven't cut it because it hasn't grown.
So I think the answer is no. Right, but it's a really good question. So, actually, in their updates, they've said that what they've done is a whole pile of stringing of stuff instead, right? But I think the opposite answer would be in autumn when there's lots of leaves, we don't pay more. You know, in spring, if there's massive grass growth and everything takes longer, we don't pay more. But the answer is, there's nothing in the contract that allows us to have a go at it.
So we don't pay by cut then.
This
was all set up before I came on, so
yes.
We don't pay by cut.
No, we don't. Not really. There's nothing in there that allows us to say that we can have money. In the same way, there's nothing in there that allows them to say, well, the leaf fall was really dreadful this year, so we'd like more money. There is no.
Can you explain to me why we're still only putting on our website a report monthly of what the BBU, because I'm sure the ex-chair will remember us passing that motion, and the motion was that we would get the report weekly in advance of all, but we seem to now go monthly. If you look at our website today, there is no cleaning for this week, but it wasn't at 5 o'clock tonight.
So the report's up there for last week, is up there?
No, that's the idea when we charged you with doing the contract was that we wanted it a week in advance so that we could check that they're doing what they should do, not leaving on a shovel and charging us for it.
So the report for July the 31st saying what they're going to do this week is up there. That's up there.
The charge you were given, was it was weekly. Where does this monthly come from?
Because it's not weekly. It is done weekly. It is done weekly.
Well, 7th of August.
So that the report for the week ending the 31st of July...
Well, that was last week. It's not this week.
Well, you'd do it at the end of the week, wouldn't you?
Because
end of a work of the week.
I need to go back a sentence. The report for the week ending the 31st of July is up there. Tomorrow is the day that they're going to come and do the village, right? Mm-hmm. Yes, we should have the report for this current week, but these are the 2 weeks. But I know why we haven't got it. It's because the managing director's on leave. But it is an every week system.
That wasn't built into the contract. The contract we signed with them was that we would have the report weekly in advance. And we're not sticking to terms of the contract.
It is an every week system. I do agree I haven't got it for next week. And I do know why. It is because the managing director is on leave.
When the whole company stops just with the managing director?
As you know, it's a very small company. They've only got six or so staff.
Okay, are you ready?
So, I think Ian, you displayed the report for just a moment.
Yeah, it shows that 3 week report.
Yeah.
Okay, something for this week.
Yeah. Where was I? I was explaining that we'd received the EV money. Chris, did I answer your questions
yes,
in the end?
Yes.
Thank you. Right. Public realm. Toilets. We've had to replace the flushing mechanism of one of the Church Street's toilets. It was causing water constantly to be used. And similarly on toilets, we've hired a port-a-loo and placed it on First Meadow for the summer holidays. Continuing to work with Suffolk Street Lighting to develop a proposal for a replacement light on Church Street. We're waiting for a proposal including a quotation for a bollard-type light. They've commented that UK Power Networks will not allow them to install a new UKPN electricity service directly into the bollard. UKPN will insist on a new feeder pillar beside the bollard for the new connection, and then Suffolk Street Lighting will have to install a private cable from the pillar to the bollard, and they're saying this will be expensive. That's the street light. 3 replacement litter bins have been ordered, 2 for the high street by the Green Co-op and 1 for near Howlett's, and deliveries anticipated this month. The extra speed brackets for the speed indicator devices have been received and passed on to the 2 councillors who kindly volunteered to try and move devices. Matt, who puts up our Christmas lights, has advised us that it's really not appropriate for him to continue to use ladders to put the lights up, and he really needs to hire a cherry picker or a spider lift or similar. We will work with him to ascertain the extra cost and keep councillors informed. Next question I've got here. I did inform the owners of Ladman Butchers of the response from Suffolk County Council and District Councillor Clover's offer of support. They've also raised with us the idea of a banner attached to the Baber-owned railings by the parish office to advertise local businesses and their concerns about the car parking charges. They may be here, I wrote earlier, to talk to the district councillors about these matters, so thank you all. And then I say here, our solicitors will still wait for a draft lease from Hartock Hutton. So that's where we are with accounts, which was very dull, and public realm, where there was some activity to report. Mm-hmm. I'm done, thank you, Jen.
Okay, so can we have a motion to approve the accounts of the month ending the 30th of June?
So the proposer was Jane, wasn't it?
Seconder was Chris.
Yes.
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 And Alison was absent, wasn't she?
Yeah.
She's
gone. She's gone for some fresh air.
She's gone for a fair.
Can I take that also as an approval to the receipts and payments?
Yeah.
Is everyone happy for
yes.
that?
Yes.
That is
yes.
that
yes.
motion as well. Thank you. So we now move on to planning. Back to you, Jen.
Okay. Do you want to read it out, Ian? Or do you want me to?
This is the list of outstanding ones. There's a lot of ongoing which I want to be discussing today. We've got Perseverance House approved,
I normally talk through this, don't I? Right, so Ian, the top are the eight or so planning applications where decisions were received in June. We suggested, recommended to BEIBA that they all approved, and BEIBA did. The middle band are the decisions received from BEIBA in July. Two of those we thought should be approved, and BEIBA approved them. We're on the right in this column. The one, we thought it should be refused. BEIBA approved it, but after the applicant made changes to which reflected or responded to all the PC's concerns. So effectively, whilst you've got refuse in one column and approve in the other column, actually, it's the same thing.
Yeah, they went exactly with our
recommendations.
Our recommendations.
And the other one in there is that's worth slightly talking about is the top line in that July box. That was the land west of Park Road and the proposal to change an arable field to a dog walking area. We thought it should be refused, and actually the applicant has now withdrawn the application. I'm not suggesting that it was our refusal that made them join the application, but that is what's happened.
There were a number of other comments adding objections to it, adding to the portal after we discussed it.
And then, indeed there were. And then we get to the bottom third of the screen, which is the open items. So there are three open items which have been open for some time, where we are waiting for BEIBA to decide. Two of them, the Parish Council recommended approval. One, it recommended refusal. And then there is the bunch of eight or so at the bottom there, which are the items for tonight.
They're separated in Parliament, two, part three, aren't they?
They are, yes.
So, the first application is the addition of decorative line budgeting and a decorative window to the rear of Crooked House. There has been an application for the replacement of the render on the back of the property, which was approved. You can see the name of it there. The work is also the rear, and it's not visible from the high street. You can only just see a part of it from the whole road. The designs are unique, and the applicant has made historical references to explain the show's design, not historical for the building, but to other buildings elsewhere. One thing to take account of here is that the suggested budgeting, I'll show you pictures of it, is could be thought to be original when it obviously isn't. And it's often important with modern additions to property that it's very clear the division between what is old and what is new. And that might be a point we want to discuss. So that's the property that has that. This is the existing windows and render, and the suggested partitioning areas in boxes, and two big lids here, and a cat up here, cat mouse. And we take a reference from the project site model. There's also a proposal to replace this window, which isn't the same type of the others, it's probably from the last 50, 60 years. And put this decorative panel in its place. This wouldn't be. So both that and the suggested item here are not reflective of what was on this property in the past. So it's something new that's been added. So I'm a bit on two points of view of this. So we didn't make a recommendation, it wasn't clear. And maybe we want to consider it.
Ian, could I just ask, it's grade 2, isn't it, listed?
Not grade 1. It's grade 2 listed.
And we're in the conservation area.
Yeah.
Are there particular regulations regarding budgeting?
I don't know.
No, I couldn't find anything.
I mean, there are a number of buildings around London that have budgeting on them.
Yes.
A lot of it is
incomplete, isn't it? On the side.
A lot of it is incomplete, and there's just been maintained, so the bits of it missing, it's broken up, it's not sort of perfect now. I haven't got any pictures of any
examples at the moment. But there are quite a few.
So it's whether you consider that this is affecting the heritage property or not. So we're obviously, our concern is to protect heritage assets, that's part of our neighbourhood plan.
I would defer to the conservation officer personally.
I haven't checked if you've had any comments at the time this list was raised. I could just do a check.
Because as we know, we're not experts, and the conservation officer may know of specific regulations of which we don't know that would apply to this.
Well, we don't have to make a recommendation.
No, I don't know either way, personally.
I think if we're at the stage after the plan, we can come up with a recommendation.
Yeah.
I think maybe send it back to Bay, but not qualified to comment on this matter. We'll go on what the planning experts say.
Just see if the conservation.
See if the conservation officer or Heritage Kingdom has said something.
You get the point?
No. There is something on the
27th. I'm not sure about the leaded window or the parcheting, knowing what we had to go through with the other hat for Sudbury Library when they did replacement windows. They put them back to what they were like in 1880 when they had been renewed in the 40s, and the heritage officer came out and went, no, they've got to go back to how the building was built. So I don't. I don't think they would go for it.
I kind of think probably the heritage officer, the conservation officer, will say that it's not appropriate.
Yeah, and we've just done.
That's just my.
Yeah, and we've just done that big sculpture on the top, and we had to have specialist people come out and actually remould part of that sculpture that nobody can see. You have to stand at Greg's and look up. Nobody can see it. And they had to go through the heritage officer to have a bit replaced.
Yes, and that's really where I was coming from, is that something that's new on a building, if you're going to restore it and replace anything that should be there, it should be replaced back into as close to the...
Can I just remind me, with the render on the back wall, because that isn't obviously...
Pebble Dash.
So is that coming down?
Yeah, this application is already approved to replace that.
Yeah, I thought there was.
So that's already approved. This application,
but this is the parcheting is extra, isn't it? Mm-hmm.
The parcheting in the window.
I don't know. In my gut feeling is I agree with Councillor Sherman that I think we need to leave it to the heritage officer and the conservation officer, because they're the experts.
Yeah.
Because we don't know of any specific rules and regulations that they are maybe aware of.
I think they'll go with the panelling, but I don't think...
The panelling's all... Oh, you mean the...
How it's divided up. I think they'll go with that, but I'm not so sure they'll go with the...
They might go with that.
I'm not sure about the window, either.
No.
Are there any pictures in Lingard's Lavenham of this? Because sometimes when we look at Lingard's Lavenham and they've got the back of houses and gardens, and then that can often be used by applicants and conservation officers to say, oh yes, but look, it was like that, so therefore you can do this, or actually no, it wasn't like that, so you can't do it.
We'll have to have a look.
There is a lot of data inside an access statement. It starts to send things in. I was just double checking. That's all it seems to be.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, we can sit and discuss this one day.
I think we're going to
Can we refer to the heritage
office? Yes,
we're
going to refer to the heritage
office. For the purpose of... I could, for the Baber planning portal, say the parish council recommends that Baber commission a report, consult with its heritage officer and follow the heritage officer's advice.
Yes. Yeah.
Would that be...
I think that's good.
I would agree.
So was that a yes? Did you like that?
I don't know.
So... Well, that was bear with me a sec, that they should talk to their heritage officer and then follow their heritage officer advice. The proposer of that was
Mr. Lamont.
The seconder was
Mr. Sherman.
Yes.
Yes.
And Chris abstained.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you all.
Chris said he's not commenting.
He did, but I...
Right. Now, there's a treaty both in poor condition and the request for these treaties supported. How the application form requires the details of treaty provided, this is not included in the application. Now, this is a mandatory requirement on the form that if you are felling trees covered by tree preservation orders, you must include details of replanting, and they're not included in the application. So that really sort of sets the situation. I can show the form. There's a specific paragraph that states that. We've come across this before, and we're confused on this basis. The location there, I'll just whip through this, is there's a nurse, pretty cast, a big garden. These are the two trees, that one's one of the trees there, and that's the other one there. And that's from the tree preservation on the map, so they're definitely protected. That's the tree at the front, they're talking about fairly, it doesn't look like it's like it's done, but. The pictures are included, but if you look at the whole tree, it doesn't look like it's...
I think it needs a bit of time to get up there. Yeah, it needs time there.
It doesn't look like it needs to come out. Now, the horse chestnut, you can see it's got this big pink, red and clear. I can take a picture from the other side. You can get access on the footpath. As you can see, it's a big tree. It's quite healthy. It's dying back. I know some trees are okay with scales. I don't know, I thought I'd run it, but that's just to show you what's about. Okay, so I think I propose a refusal because there's no indication of tree preservation order, which I think is a replacement tree.
May I speak, Chair?
Yeah. I don't know if you want to make any.
Thank you, Chair. I mean, question for all, really. I absolutely could say in my response on the portal, we recommend refusal because they haven't said the replacement trees.
Yeah.
What then? What does Council's view then happens if actually they do pop up with three, the suggestions for the replacement trees? So that's gone away, but actually the proposal then is to take down these trees and put in two saplings, say, right? Does Council still think that's cool, or does Council actually want to have a second sentence that goes, actually, we think these trees should stay anyway? That's a question for you. So I need to know the answer, otherwise I won't write the right
things. That would be my personal suggestion for a motion. I would support that.
The motion could read, Council opposes the felling of these trees on two grounds. First, it thinks the trees should be allowed to stay, and secondly, it thinks that it's mindful that of the regulation that they need to have, you know, replacement trees, and they haven't done that. So basically, you're failing twice. That could be the or you know, I'm not sure. I need to be told what to write.
I mean, the phone.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah.
So there's two reasons for refusal.
Yes.
So that's the recommendations. Everybody.
Yeah, the trees, when you look at them in the hole, they look considering how they
look fine. I know exactly where they are. They
sorry, am I missing? Did she supply a professional
the tree surgeon, the application, I think, is by a tree surgeon.
It is by a tree surgeon.
If someone goes along and says, can you put these down? He didn't give a very... There's one picture of the tree in front, which wasn't...
Mm. Wasn't convincing, really, was it?
Wasn't convincing.
That's what I'm saying, it's a tree surgeon. You should know what he's got.
Yeah.
Well, yes, I know that.
Mm.
Let's
carry
that. I propose we go with the parks.
Recommendation.
Yeah, I second it.
Yeah,
so there was a proposal for the clerks, two reasons for approval, refusal rather. The proposal was Michael.
I second. Seconded by Jane. Do you agree?
Abstain. Yes.
Abstain. Yes.
So there were two abstentions, which were Janice and Chris. Thank you all.
Harris is 17 Water Street, Lavern. It's not been narrowed down. The trees in question actually are on the boundary here with this house here. I don't know the name of it. It's on Barn Street. And they're pollinating two single trees, which are here, and suggesting burying that one. It's given the size of the garden, it's a big garden, and they are close together. This one's causing damage to a property as well. And a recommendation is approval.
Yeah, I agree, Ian. Sycamores do grow very rapidly.
Yeah, it's quite a tight space.
Very rapidly. Mm.
So the proposal is
approval.
Yeah.
Jane has seconded it.
So Ian, you were the proposer, just so I can hear. Jane was the seconder.
Yeah.
Janice?
Yes.
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 Yeah. Chris abstained.
Unanimous, but CR abstained. Okay. Thank you.
Next one is the Angel. So the Angel Hotel, which was a big old garden here, and this is what building is. There's some sheds here and some trees that are down between the sheds and the buildings. And you can see there's a shed there, and there's this tree here, jumping that on that one. I think the trees are next to each other here. They're not corrected by tree preservation or use of the leaves. They are quite big considering the space they've got between those trees.
You believe a bay is a shrub?
What's that?
A bay is a shrub. They don't need not a tree. To cut down tree, bay trees.
Oh, okay. Well, it's quite possible they would say the trees are just small enough anyway.
Yeah, and the other one's like a leylandi.
Because the diameter of the trunk is small.
Yeah, but bay trees, you don't need permission. Because they're shrubs, not trees.
Well, the proposal is that you recommend that we
I'll say so.
Sorry, Ian proposed, Michael seconded, Jack.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, same as Chris was saying again.
Fair enough. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Helen. Mm-hmm. Thank you all.
Yet more trees.
A lot of trees.
The next one is a rectory. So they want to lift the crown
of the lime
by T1.
So
they require this
one.
And I think it's back
here.
It's ongoing, not filling it.
No, it makes a change.
Ongoing maintenance, so I recommend approval.
Yeah, I recommend approval.
So the proposal was in?
Oh, I'll second.
Yep.
JR.
Yes.
Yes.
Abstain.
Yes.
Yes.
Thank you.
Right.
Hang on. I'm going to be declaring an interest, as is the vice chair.
Yep.
So we need to ask somebody to chair on the next two items. Michael has recommended Janice.
And Janice doesn't mind.
And Janice doesn't mind.
Janice,
can I have a seconder?
Yes.
Alison is seconding, so Janice will take the chair for these items, please.
So, Janice to chair, the proposer was Michael, was that right?
Yeah.
The seconder was... who was the seconder?
Alison.
Alison.
Do you agree?
Yes.
I'll take it you're going to abstain. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So everyone else agreed, but Chris abstained. Yeah. Thank you.
We should close the doors.
Yeah, we're going to.
I'm going to sit in your seat just in case you need to tell.
That's all right. And I'm going to
close that one as well.
I was going to say, you shut this one. You can't see who that one either.
Well, it's really weird. Oh, is there a close door? Okay.
I don't really need to do anything. Ian, just carry on.
Right. There are two applications for us to Julia has. The first one is notification of worst trees in the conservation area. The application form it states of course we're those are 5 metres. 20-30% reduction in the shirt, so reduction sycamore, but removable the sycamore to be replaced by most of the specs. I've just got the drawing position of the three trees. Boundary, I've got a picture.
I think my that was, it would be nice to know what the tree was going to replace. I think that's a point of mine.
Yeah, well, you actually said what you said is that we should make sure that tree is replaced. Yeah. Actually, it was on the application that they would do it, but I think we can make a condition.
Yeah.
But they're not TPO, so it's
no,
not
they're not. They're not talking about tree preservation. So, but the applicant has actually said they would replace it.
So in the application, sorry, Matt,
carry on.
So in the application form, they've said we'll remove it and replace it with a more suitable specimen. That's yeah. Have I read that? Am I understanding this properly? So what we're then saying is, yes, we recommend approval, but you've got to stick to those words that you put on with respect to tree form.
That's exactly right.
So I need to be clear, otherwise you won't get what you yes.
Anybody else have anything else to say, or we're going to proceed with the recommendation?
Well, I'll
propose it. So the proposer was Ian, the seconder was Michael, unanimous,
yes.
Chris abstained. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Next.
Next one. So this is, it's a, we're doing that grade one listed building, one of the most significant buildings in Dublin. The actual application has been quite carefully done to not affect any of the parts of the listed building, the heritage part of the listed building. So that's the property there. We're talking about an extension onto the back of this stud here, which is a modern extension to the building.
It's a big
it's caught by numbers. Unfortunately, quite a lot of families like that. So you can see the property is here, and this is the extension here, as it is at the moment. And I've got a long way around. But that's as it is at the moment. Because that's shorter, and the longer one is. No, that's right. Yes, this is being extended out from here, and there's a glazed passageway that runs around the back here. So this is being extended from here. I think there's more detailed plan. So we've got four. So plan four, this is the extension that they propose to extend. And at the moment there is a glazed pergola on the back of the building along here. Mm-hmm. And there is a hitch of it. I suppose is this the glazed section, it now becomes a glazed corridor. Mm-hmm. And in the elevation here and this one here, the building extends out. Back there now. Might be a bit clearer here. So existing floor plan. kitchen, room, bedroom, shower, and this is the additional sitting room along with a play deck.
Can I ask an absolutely stupid question?
Yeah.
Is it not affecting a modern building in the curtain, which is very nice?
Well, that's why it needs application anyway, because it's in the curtain. It would have needed, even if it's a second building, because it's in the curtain. But also, so you're right, it does affect it. This is a picture of the, so this is, when I said it's glazed, you can see it's like a glazed, partial glazed, in very poor condition. And this would be replaced by what would be a corridor. So the attachment here, the position there, is going to be very much the same, I think, from the plans. But so this would be replacing this rather dilapidated roof here. And then the extension comes out from this here in this direction. This is the one that's actually continues. That's just from a different angle. So the extension is proposed to come out from here. That's down the side. So, so I'll just explain that because it's a very important building. I just wanted everyone to be clear as to. Yes. Modern extension, access improved by ramps to the kitchen doors. There's a good kitchen door on the side, I can show you that. So, current modern glazed pergola, which is a poor condition, replaced by an oak fully glazed link. And then the landscape area in fact that's created with steps to external access. Materials are actually distant, extension to the soil and suburban into the house with minimal impact on the visual appearance of the rear property, because it's just going out and the rear is just going to clear out. The rear wall of the property is recently rear-ended, the swim line is not affected. Heritage action has such a not affected. So they've explained in the documents that they're not touching anything. So the recommendation that I would make is approval, but.
Anybody want to make any comment?
No.
Do you want to go straight to a vote? So we've got Ian proposing, seconded by Michael.
Yes.
And I say yes as well.
Michael, were you the seconder of the previous motion on the beer house as well? So you seconded both of them, is that right?
Yeah.
Thank you. I couldn't read my own handwriting. Thank you. That's the beer house done.
I can get them.
So we have. Is there one more application?
Yeah, one more.
Oh, I can open the door again. Oh,
okay.
This place is empty.
Okay. It's a poultry farm. Don't do very well. I'll just show you where it is, if you're not aware. The site boundary of this application is actually part of this whole, what is the poultry farm site at the moment, or land. So the application was this red area here. So that's as it is, and you can see there's this building. That's the building in question. There's a closer view of the current arrangement with the going on is just being renovated. This part is in very poor condition. You can see it there, that's Ben Hall's been refurbished, and that's the part that's in poor condition. And there are a number of pictures in the supporting documentation that shows that really it's not feasible to repair it. It is a demolishing thing. And that's the access, probably this is the part of the building, and that's the access from the road. As existing. As you know, the chair mentioned earlier about material considerations, and that any questions of the boundaries is not a material consideration, because, as you all know, there have been separate discussions concerning the boundary and the instruction in the last meeting. But that is a material consideration. I think also site plan in here. There was a proposed site plan in here, I've missed it somewhere.
I think it's further down.
We think it's further down here.
There.
Let's skip over it. Well, this process has elevations, but I wanted to show the site plan to show where they're putting it.
I think you were on it.
No, it's the one
where it's got the drains on.
That one. Is it that one?
No, that's the existing building. So what the proposal is that this building I've shown is demolished, and a new building is built in this location here as a detached house. So that's why I must have not accidentally missed.
Ian, when I read this originally, I struggled with its existing and proposed site plan. I presumed that the shaded areas were the difference between the existing and the proposed. There never was in the document a separate thing.
Right, okay.
So I struggled with that, but I had to guess that that's how it was. So you'll have to talk instead.
So the proposal is to relocate effectively this building into a building that occupies the same floor area. Because it's in an area that is a high risk of flooding, the existing building is a high risk of flooding, and the new building would be in a high risk of flooding. And so that the boundaries, the size of the building is such that it doesn't exceed the existing. And that is, if you look at the pre-application notes, the applicant has made several pre-application consultancies, and there's been negotiation. One of them was the removal of a request for commercial use of the property, and the other was one of the others was to reduce the size of the footprint so that it remained to be is no larger than the existing. The proposal also has a number of additional features in it that would make it more flood resistant, so the materials, how the way it's constructed, would be such that it would be easier to repair in the event of flooding than the existing property.
Ian, could I just ask a question? Because at the moment, my understanding is the house is a semi-detached house.
Correct, yeah.
Does this this application, does the applicant have to make safe because obviously it's not going to be a semi-detached house, is it? It's going to be a detached house. Does the applicant have to make safe the outside wall of Glen Home?
I think there's normally there's a party wall agreement. I mean, if anyone's there's a party wall agreement about maintenance of that. Normally, it might be one party's responsible or the other, or it's a joint responsibility. As to how that's being arranged, it doesn't mention
it's not,
it, and it's
not
material.
Is that a material consideration? Mm. Okay, right. All right. It was just a question. No, I just didn't want them to knock it down in the house, the new house to fall down, basically.
You're quite right. And there will have to be a new agreement. And who makes that wall good after the other one's knocked down is going to have to be something.
But that wouldn't have to come into this particular planning application. Thank you. Just for clarification.
But yes, it could expose that wall.
I just wondered if the house wall just went plop, fell down.
And so, yeah, so that is, all that is covered in the RIC application. So this is in from the document that's by the dwelling people are located wholly within the residential purposage. It's a reduced scale. The architecture is revised, and if you look at the drawings, the architecture, the materials to match Glenall and the buildings. Yeah, and that's and design proposes some sort of things. So that is all of the same.
Okay.
So I've got the drawing actually that I talked about, which is just on the screen. Okay.
Maybe we've seen the reason for a logical reason in the planning sense of not recommending that.
Is this where I come in?
I think okay. If you want to. Okay. It's your thoughts from earlier.
Yep, so I've been discussing it, looking at it and everything else, and I've got three notes. The BABA pre-application advice has been obtained and followed. That the planning group has commented that the proposal house has been designed to be appropriate to the proportions on Brent Ely Road, particularly recently renovated Glen Home. And I would suggest that council recommend that BABA approve the application.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah,
yeah,
you can
see the proposer was, in this case, was Joanne.
Yeah.
The seconder was Alison.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
So, the answer. Janice, did you vote yes? I just didn't hear you.
Yes, you did.
So,
A, B, J, N.
So actually, IL and MS abstained. Other than that, everyone, yes.
I think abstained. Probably maybe the word
didn't participate. Or
I didn't vote because of recent.
I don't think we need to explain you don't need to explain. And you didn't contribute to the debate? No. I think that's the end of planning.
Yeah, good. Thank you.
We should ask Chris to come back in. Shall I do that? Yes. Yes. The next item is the pavement licence application for the Great House.
Did you say you were going out again?
Me, probably.
The Great House.
The Great House.
Yes.
Well, at least. Okay. So. Right, we're trying to move at some decent pace. A few days ago, I got something called a pavement license renewal application for the Great House. And it clearly said that we want to plonk, as the map thing says there, two tables and four chairs across the width of the Great House. That's what it says. Two tables, four chairs. In next page. It clearly says the tables and the chairs will look like that.
Clark, can I just ask a quick question? Is this what was agreed last time?
I'm getting that. Pause. Okay. Hold that thought.
Right, okay.
So two tables, four chairs all the way along. The tables and the chairs look like that.
it's going to be used for the sale and drink of alcohol on or off the premises. It then explains again that it's a 1 metre deep section of the public pavement outside the front of the Great House. Two tables, four chairs, keep going. It says it's going to be between 8 o'clock and 11 o'clock every single day of the week. And it keep going. And it basically stops. So then I said, this is considered as a renewal, but it doesn't appear to be a complete match for the existing licence. The existing licence is for two tables and four chairs.
Mm-hmm. But there's actually four tables and chairs.
Well, the existing licence is only for two tables and four chairs. They may be in breach of their licence, but I haven't done a table count. Right?
No, it was there this evening.
So, and the existing licence is only for one side of the door. The existing licence is actually only for the, colloquially, the angel side of the door.
So they've got it on both sides at the moment.
Well, that's a bit naughty in it, right?
Four tables and chairs.
So,
can I ask a question? I haven't been up there for a while, but is the pavement actually wide enough for this?
Yeah.
It is? Sorry.
The pavement tapers, I think that's the only point.
Sorry, Janet.
The pavement tapers, so if you see on the drawing there, it's wider at the angle than it is at, and it narrows down towards the door. So there is an argument to say that the widest part is to the left of the front door.
So to be clear,
this is the area they're showing.
This is under existing licence. They're allowed to be two tables and four chairs, and they all must be the angel side of the front door. That's what the existing, I heard that. That's what the existing license is. Okay. If you then keep going down, this is from last time, right? The building sits right in front of the building, facing towards the marketplace, straight on from the front entrance, there's a pavement for normal use. The part that is at the right-hand side of the front entrance is 4 metres by 2 metres, and as it says in that third paragraph, this is the space we'd like as a licence. This is from last time, right? This is making very clear it's only one side of the door, right? As is the map. If we keep going down, actually they used a different box on the top one, so this time they put tick to the middle box, this time they put tick to, last time they ticked to the bottom box. The hours are unchanged, so there's lots of words here to say that what they're trying to do is turn a license for two tables and four chairs one side of the door into a license for two tables and four chairs both sides of the door. I've heard people say to me that actually there are four tables there at the moment, but that's not the question that we're debating here. That's effectively what's going on.
Well, I haven't read it, it's like that. I've read it that it says, please select one of the following to sell or serve drinks supplied from in connection with relevant to the premises for the purposes of consuming food and drinks supplied from or in connection with the premises. They want to do both of those purposes. It doesn't say anything about the number of tables.
Doesn't in that bit. This is from last time. This is last time, right? But in the words down, it's...
Can we go down,
so this is last time. It's either up or down.
Thank you.
Up, then clearly. Up. So this is last time. Hang on. Okay, so down, down, down. That's this time. Keep going. That's still this time. That's still this time. Last time. That's what they... There was their map. Which said one side of the door only. Keep going slowly down. Oh, Ian, you didn't let me read that.
Jumped it.
Okay. Straight on. There's a pavement for... The path is on the right side. This is where we'd like to place the tables. And what's it... it doesn't mention the number of tables in that bit, does it? No, can you stay out from what we're looking at? which I'm translating for the first, it said there's no reference to the number of tables on that SNP.
No.
Could you go down again? Ian, you didn't let us read the last pack. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
The tables and chairs take up around 65 to 70 centimetres to allow enough space for the actual tables and chairs and some extra space to accompany it. After this, on the pavement, there will remain a space of 1.5 to 1.7 metres for general pedestrian use. Not if somebody's sitting in it. And allowing sufficient space for those passing the premises.
This is the street view. Now, can you see how the pavement
takes yep.
I know it's the perspective, but it is wide here. You show on the drawing spot, it's wide here, and then it's here. So, if you took tables, say, like the screen, you would consider that the
Well,
to the school.
Yeah, so
yeah.
Is it because the pavement isn't as wide to the
right
yeah.
door?
Can we go back to the application, please?
Yeah.
Yeah, right, slow.
That's
there's
the
no
current,
description.
Current
no towards the mother, straight on from the front end. There's a pavement, normal daily pedestrian use. It stretches up along the building and our neighbour's entrance and ends around the. Up a bit, please. And the part that is on the right hand side. Is approximately 4.6, and the space we would like a license for, as we would like to place removable table chairs, is on this wider part of the pavement. So that's where you're coming in, is it? They actually are asking for the right hand side of the door. If you're looking at the building,
yeah,
it'll be the right hand side, won't
yeah,
it?
This is last time, it was right, that's last time, and it was right hand side only.
Now, here.
Oh, but is that with your back
that
to the building?
Looking at the building.
Or the
if you look to the map, right? If you look at the map, it clearly. So
it's with your back to the building.
Yeah. With your back to the. As you're coming out, it's the right hand side, right?
So, yes, you can see the front door is there. Right?
Yeah.
So that, therefore, is the.
So it's basically to the left as you look at the building.
It's left to the, if you look at the building.
There's one other thing just to observe there. You see they said leaving 1.5 to 1.7 for general pedestrian use. In the new application it says leave 1 metre for general pedestrian use.
Then it can't because it has to be 1,200 to be DDA compliant.
Yeah, so if you go up to the application, I think you'll find that's what it says. If I just for a call.
So this is the existing license, two and four.
Yeah, two tables, four chairs.
That's where I got that information from.
Yeah,
even
that,
wasn't
that,
from
no,
the
no,
last
that's right. That's fine. Two tables and four chairs, but they've done it along the length of the building, haven't they?
They've done it on both sides of the door.
Yeah.
And it narrows, so
yeah.
Meter,
yeah.
So
they've broken the terms
and
of their license.
And the 1 metre, you've got to have 1.2 to be able to get a wheelchair down there. That's not right that they should be pushing.
They use them lay on tables.
Yeah, but
there's. Someone sits. You know,
yeah, but they shouldn't be having four tables out there at the moment.
No, even two.
Yeah, you're taking up more room.
Plus, they've also got the bar area in the marketplace, haven't they? Which
yeah.
doesn't seem to be being used at the moment. There's just that eyesore of an umbrella, which many people, in fact, think is a hot tub. And ask when the hot tub is going to be open. Yes, we are. No, but what I'm saying is, you know, there's a lot of seating available already, because they've already got permission for seating elsewhere.
I think we have to consider the noise as well. If that look, eight people sitting around a table. You've got residents that live in houses there, and
well,
people staying in
hotels. Well, we do, and we've got the angel, and they had out seating. I think I would be personally, I'd be refusing this on the fact that they have spread and they are not DDA compliant. It's not fair that they should have their tables and then push wheelchairs and that into the road.
Yeah, it's okay to have them to. The side of the
which
entrance.
Is big enough.
The two tables there.
Yeah.
Which is what their license
will be the other side.
Yeah.
If when I write to them, they write back saying, Andrew, enforcement of the current licence is a separate matter to the renewal of the licence. Please, will you not try and drag one into the other?
All right, does well, then we'll what's go my, back what, and what's say...
No, that, well, let's get my letter right
the
first
time. What I'm
saying
is, does that not affect... Because if somebody has a licence, say, for a pub, and they're not following their licence application details, when the licence, when they reapply for the licence, it can be refused on the grounds
that, they've broken
that the business
terms
have
the
already
previous.
Broken their original licence.
Okay, so
that's the part.
I could
know.
Write and say we have concerns that they're not currently following it.
It's a previous
but
license.
Then, with respect to this application, what is it a yes, is it a no, and what is the argument?
I thought it was a no. I thought it was what Jack just said.
It's a no.
No.
And what's the logic for the no?
Because if they go to the other side of the door, they will then be taking up too much of the pavement, which will not be DDA compliant.
DDA compliant.
DDA.
Yeah, disability access.
Can I just say, it's made very simple by the fact their own documentation states 1 metre.
Yeah. Mm. It has to be 1,200.
And DDA is 1.2.
Yeah.
I'm living alone.
Yet. Moving on.
So, the motion, I drafted the motions, we just have to do this slightly properly otherwise. So the motions were the clerk is instructed to write to Baber Council expressing support, or that the clerk is instructed to write to Baber Council recommending the application be refused.
That one.
Refused. I take it there is no proposer for the APFA support letter. Right? Okay, that's gone. Does someone like to propose a motion to amend it? To amend it, but to go through this fast, right? Because I didn't know what anyone was going to say, right? That the application be refused, because it's less than 1.2 metres, DDA 1.2, that's the big argument, and B, that Baber is asked to consider that the applicant is currently in breach of its existing
yes.
licence.
Yes.
So the big argument is DDA 1.2, and by the way, these people are currently in breach
breaking
of the licence.
Yeah,
so that, could you now get people to amend it to say that and then vote on it?
Can you amend it to say that and vote on it?
So who's the proposer of the amendment?
I'll propose it.
Alison proposes.
I'll second.
James seconds.
Yes.
Yes.
That's unanimous. And does everybody now want to vote the same way on that revised motion?
Yes. Yes.
Everyone voted the
yes.
same way.
No.
We're done.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
So
what's
that one?
Probably.
We've got
one.
We've
got a chair.
We're just coming up to
9 o'clock.
Right. So is Grant's. Now, Chris has got all sorts of
things. No, the way she's listed.
Remember.
The first one is okay. You'll not be voting. He'll leave it for poultry farms. He'll be leaving for the pavement license.
Sit for a moment, Chris, and I'll talk.
So,
no. Sit for a moment, and I'll talk.
Right. So
I'll do an introduction.
That's all right.
This is introduction, not a talk about the individual items. So we have 5 applications. The total is some £7,000 or so. We have a budget for the year of £6,000. It was always envisaged that we would that it would be sort of £3,000 now and £3,000 in November, but that's just an envision thing. The big picture is that £7,000 of applications now, with a budget for the year of £6,000. And we have a policy that says that we'll invite applications twice a year. So if you spend it all now, then you can't. Right. So we have these 6 applications. That's the background. I'm aware of Chris's requests. I drafted the motions up that the parish council grants pounds X to organisation X so that we can amend it, to put the numbers in. Right? Because it's kind of not until people have heard all of the cases and thought about it they'll be able to come to a decision. So what I'm trying to say is that's the financial position, and then the motion is deliberately vague with just X to X because I have no idea what people are going to put.
Mm-hmm.
So Anyone got any comments on that?
Could I just ask a question about the first grant?
Well, if you're going to ask a question about the first grant, which is the Lavenham Woodland, what's it, then
Chris needs to
leave the room. Because that's what he said he'd like to
do. Oh,
okay.
I will leave the room.
Sorry. Sorry, Chris.
Chris, you're going to be up and down all night. Because he's got a grant to do his own pond and he doesn't want to be seen.
Okay, my question is, my only concern for that, as it's a pond and it's open to the public, is there a safety issue and have safety provisions been put in place?
So the answer is not a start. Obviously, the detailed application forms were contained in the pack, mm-hmm. and I am not aware of anything where he's referred to that.
He does say in a safe environment.
You know, bearing in mind that toddlers can drown in sort of
already water courts run through there.
Yeah.
What through the wound area?
Where?
Big ditch for
the water. There is.
Well, it's a big ditch for the water in the winter,
yeah.
But it's very dry.
Yeah.
So how do you maintain a pond in a wood like that that's dry for several months in the year?
Mm-hmm. I have to say, and my pond's dried up.
I know, I've just got doubts about that aspect.
Feasibility of having
a pond that doesn't just become dry.
Because if it was a natural pond where there was an osier...
It's a spring or something like that.
Yeah, then you could see. No, that was my only concern, because there isn't somebody on duty or patrol in the woodland, which is fantastic, and it's wonderful that they've won this award. But my only concern as a former teacher and a mum is what happens if, you know, children are there and the parents are letting them go around. Children can drown in ponds very easily.
We had a very similar discussion just recently, didn't we, about First Meadow and the consideration there, and what we agreed is that we would replace signs with warning signs, and that was
to warn parents that there is a pond which is so many metres deep or inches or however deep it's going to be.
I think that might be a similar
That was my only question.
That we would take
public
the
safety
or request it to the same approach and have some signage there on.
Because it says public access at all times.
Would we be sensible to say we'd like to defer it and have a presentation before we consider the grant?
Council absolutely could decide that it has some further questions that it would like to ask these folk, and therefore it could defer the whole conversation of grants to another month. It could. Or it could decide that actually it particularly wants, for example, to give some of these other applications.
No, I just meant this one.
Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
You know, that's such a limited budget, which you've got to divide over two rounds of applications. Not be ready, but this group has 10,000 in its bank account, and I just feel maybe there are causes that don't have those kind of funds to fall back on.
Well, let me tell you about the amount of money that each of the causes does have. The Lavenham Woodland Trust has about $10,000.
Right.
Mm. The Lavenham Preschool has £70,000 worth of cash.
Strike them.
But it has to maintain the Hicks of Ofsted, doesn't it, I believe?
Sorry?
Yeah, they probably have to be sold.
Yeah, Hicks of Ofsted.
Right.
The Lavenham Good Neighbours Scheme has £3,000. The Hub has £17,000. And the Lavenham Community Allotments Association has £2,000.
I don't think we can even make a grant to the allotments because
until their legal status.
Well, so the allotments money grant is for an application, is to basically improve. It's to improve the fence in there. If Malcolm never ever comes up with anything, then there won't be an allotment site to put a fence on it. Well, we wouldn't pay the money until the lease was done, and I actually think the sensible people over there probably wouldn't ask for it until the lease was done. That is how it's going to be, you know.
So let's go back to this one. Do we want to say we're going to defer it now, and we will perhaps have an
an extra meeting that where we could ask for presentation before we consider.
Could we invite him to reapply in November?
We could.
We could. And could we clarify that we'd like information about safety?
We could absolutely go back to them. There's nothing about this that council is sovereign. It can decide what it likes.
Yeah.
But even moving on from that, there's nothing about this application that says this is really time critical.
Okay.
That's not in the application. So absolutely, we could go back and say, look, consider these points for a November application, yeah, please.
I would want to know about safety issues then.
Just to make a point, if we ask for a presentation from one applicant, we have to ask if all applicants have presentations. But which is what you're saying, you defer everything.
So no, but we could just say your application was not
was incomplete.
What's the word?
Successful
at this occasion. We invite you to come back in November. We're answering these questions.
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a good idea, Andrew.
So there's no motion about that because actually it was just invite November. Jack, please take over the chair.
Okay, thank you. Lavman Preschool, amount £2,000. I was reading that, Ian. You've got a jittery finger, Ian. Lavman Preschool, amount £2,000 to replace 10 years old IT equipment during the financial year. A significant project.
Chris said he wanted to be in the room for this.
Oh, did he?
Oh, I thought he said he didn't.
I thought
no,
he
did.
Said he didn't.
Okay,
that's fine. Go again.
But hey, conversation goes. This is the preschool.
Preschool, sorry. To replace aging 10-year-old IT equipment during the financial year, a significant portion of their funds has been allocated to the repair of other critical life-expired assets, including security doors, fire shutters, essential plumbing works. Some of this expenditure was incurred to implement improvements required to meet revised Ofsted criteria and further strengthen safeguarding arrangements for the children in our care. As a result, we've been able to prioritise the replacement of our IT equipment. The bank balance looks healthy, but this includes sufficient reserves to satisfy the requirements of Ofsted and the Charity Commission. The bank balance also includes the working capital and reserves needed to ensure long-term financial stability of the preschool.
To Janice's question, I don't think they're arguing that £70,000 is completely required by Ofsted. They are suggesting that there's prudence in there too.
Mm. Right, so what we're actually asking for is 2 HP touchscreen computers that conform to recently revised health and safety requirements to an appropriate cost of £650 each. 1 laser printer scanner necessary for production of printed materials for pupils in accordance with health and safety, approximately £700. Printer consumables, £300, four sets required, and 1 HP touchscreen laptop with typical screen for whole class display at an appropriate cost of £800. Compliant with eligibility criteria. So what was the total, please? 2,000, wasn't it?
Yes.
The application form submitted is all the items complete, supporting documents submitted. Yes, the group has approximately 70,000 in cash.
Can I ask a question?
You can.
Okay, so does the preschool receive funding from Suffolk County Council or the Education Department of Education? Or is it self-funding because it's what parents pay? Because obviously I'm assuming that parents pay to send their children there. Or is it like a primary school that receives funding from central?
I think it's funding from central, isn't it?
I don't know. Because if it does receive funding, they can apply for grants from the local
education authority. It's 2,000 they want and they've got 70. It doesn't seem like it would dip too far into the reserves to cover that.
Yeah.
Whereas the next one, the Lavender Neighbourhood Scheme, is like hanging by a wire.
Yeah.
It's just my personal opinion.
my personal feeling is we could supply a capital towards a capital project, so maybe the laptops or a printer, but I don't think we can be seen to be doing consumables, which are really running costs.
Mm. In answer to the question, the preschool's income is basically round, this is back of the envelope approximations, 200,000 of income a year, of which 125,000 is grants, 50,000 is fees, and the remainder is fundraising, etc. So their income is £200,000 a year, approaching £200,000 a year. And here they are. And this is an application for £2,000.
No.
So is the there is no recommendation. Has the idea of giving them a grant got a proposer? That's my direct question. Is there a proposer for giving them a grant?
Just another point here. The expenditure they're talking about there is £4,000. They're only asking for half of it. So the question about consumables doesn't really come in, because the grant wouldn't be covering the consumables. That would be the half they would be funding. If you add those figures up, they come to £4,000, which is what I've just done. So they're not asking for full amount, they're asking for half the amount.
£200,000 a year income? Seriously?
So the actual number was 188,000 to be for the tape.
They're not poverty stricken.
For the tape. I rounded it to 200. So did it fail to attract a proposer?
I proposed it.
You proposed it. Does it get a seconder?
Based on half the cost.
What, you're proposing we grant it?
Yeah, based on half the cost.
No, I don't agree.
Does it get a seconder? So the next one is Good Neighbours. Chris, I can't remember your view on Good Neighbours. You'll find us. So, Good Neighbours, as it says here, it's got £3,000. Each coach trip costs £500. There are not six coach trips a year, not quite, but clearly its financial position is very limited and it's very dependent on very small grants.
This is exactly the sort of thing that we should be
Who was the proposer for the Janet. Good Neighbours? Janice. The seconder was JR. I think is it going to be unanimous?
Yeah. Oh, I don't know.
Unanimous?
Yeah.
Okay. The next one is the hub. Chris, I can't remember. You're going to stay in the room or go? What did you say? He's toddling off, is he?
Toddling,
I think I'm going to go. Pretty strong.
It will leave the room. Right. So. Don't everyone get bored listening to me. Can you go for a couple of minutes, Jack, and explain what the Hub are trying to do?
Okay. The Hub considers it is sensible to reduce its reliance on donations and cannot be guaranteed by securing grant funding where possible. We're therefore seeking some grant support from the Parish Council to help underwrite our core costs and ensure that the vital asset for the community can continue into the future. It is anticipated that additional funding may be required to address outdated structure of the Hub, that being that the Lavenham Community Hub Land Trust, which is in fact a community benefit society and regulated by the FCDA, and its separate subsidiary company, the Past Post Presence Limited. This structure was required due to an issue with the rules used for the CBS to prevent the Hub from trading. This structure of... Did you go too far?
No, you didn't. The structure of having a subsidiary company
increases the audit requirements imposed by the FCA, so that a full audit is required. The requirements and costs have gradually increased, the latest audit costing £3,500. Advice has been obtained from Community Action Suffolk and the Plunkett Foundation and the Hub's accountants on how this issue can be resolved and thereby streamline how its functions and costs can be reduced. There are various options which are possible and being investigated. An application to the Charity Commission is pending, and an option of establishing a CIC, which is a community interest company, if you don't know. In both cases, a new organisation should be created and its functions of the two existing organisations would be transferred over, and the old organisations would then be wound up. The ongoing audit requirements for the new organisation are significantly lower and will be under £500. There are some one-off costs associated with the professional fees for legal and financial advice to oversee this transfer, and we're currently obtaining quotes for these. Are you eligible? Yes. Da, da, da. The group has approximately 17,000. So how much are the group asking for? Just over £1,000.
Was 2, it? 2,000, I think, isn't it?
Could we go back, please?
2,000.
£2,000.
Yeah. You could suggest a more amount.
About half.
Yeah.
Another proposal could be, you could change in that, or you could. I don't think the hub are suggesting that they need this money yet to survive the next year, say. I don't think that's what they're saying. That. It's a grant that you do not wish to make at this time. There's all sorts of, or you could give it, absolutely. But I think that my clerk's comment is, if this grant is not given, it will not. That does not mean the hub will close in the next 12 months, say. That's just not a... With that bank balance, that's not going to happen.
They did provide the previous year's accounts at 24-25, and they made profit by £200-300 or something, whatever it was. And so obviously the actual profit loss is very large.
So no.
So it could make more of a significance.
So the hub did hub. The hub's accounts for 25 are there, and they're great, the number's not large. But actually 25-6, which is the next year, was very successful for donations for the hub.
Oh, I see.
25-6 accounts haven't been published. So we haven't got those, but they are a much more their position is
healthy
is much healthier now than it was then.
Yeah.
The cash a year ago was some 9,000, now it's 17,000.
I do recall we have in the past had approaches from for support because of the very tight position on profit loss.
In my opinion, if we gave them £1,000 to help towards their changing it from one to the other in value, in the long run, that would be worth £4,000. Because they'll be changing their legal status from, and how they're doing their audits, costing £3,500. By going to the new organisations, they'll be £500. So that will give them a value of £4. It would give them a good return.
Yeah, okay, I agree.
So the proposal for £1,000 was who? Was it you, Jack?
Yeah.
Who was the seconder?
Alison.
Alison. Yes. The voting? Janice, did you say yes? I couldn't hear.
Michael?
Yes, sorry, Alison.
Alison put seconded.
Yes. Okay. So the last one then is the allotments. Appreciating we've only got 10 minutes left of the meeting. So
is this the last thing?
This is the last one. No, there's two items after this. So this is about increasing the perimeter, the height of the perimeter fence. That's £2,000 worth of work. These folk are asking us for half of the money. They then explain why a perimeter fence is a good idea and put in the notes there. The association originally asked for a grant of £2,500 from the PC to assist with initial setup costs, which included this item. This was agreed in principle but was later revoked due to an unforeseen increase in legal fees to arrange the lease of the land. That's the wording from the application form. I don't think we ever did actually revoke it, frankly. I think we just said we would consider, which is a little different thing. Unfortunately, most grants require the lease to be in place before a bid can be submitted, and so this work needs to be completed ASAP, so we can't wait. And then they explain on. So it's a grant of £1,000, which is half the cost of the fence. And we heard the conversation earlier that clearly if the lease is never in, then the whole thing falls over and the money remains in our bank account and wouldn't go to theirs. That's how that would be.
Yeah, no.
I just a question. Perhaps can't be asked immediately, but as I understand it, the perimeter fence also needs to be hired to prevent deer getting in.
I think that was one of the... Yes, dogs, deer and other wildlife.
Oh, sorry, yes, yeah, it does mention that. I missed that.
Dogs, deer and other wildlife.
Yeah, so I can take the point in a lot that you really don't want the deer because they'll just eat anything. So
dogs, deer and bad guys.
Watching the clock go to 21:20,
yeah.
Do we have a proposer for this item?
Yeah, I think we should do it.
So the proposer was Ian.
Should be paid on the successful...
Seconder was Alison.
The one with the grant.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Unanimous. Okay. But to be clear, again, so the tape can hear it up, if the thing never happens, then the money never gets paid.
Right. Chris.
Just
yeah.
Back. Yes, we should talk about the report concerning bullying and harassment policy. This is very quick.
Does Chris need...
Yes, he should be back in.
Do we need to tell him?
Chris.
Somebody needs to
tell him. I'll tell him. You rest your weary bones.
Thank you, darling.
You should work hard and you will learn.
It's fair.
Oh, I didn't hear that, did you, Chair?
No.
I said you should get some exercise, you've got bloody weights, you must have more energy.
Gosh.
I've
driven to Ipswich twice today.
Yeah, you need that one.
So, in the last 9 minutes, the next item is about bullying and harassment policy. So the minutes from last time record that Councillor Ranzetta wondered if it was a legal requirement to have a bullying and harassment policy. And Councillor Mitchell suggested the clerk contact SALT concerning the legal requirements. That's what happened last time. So the subsequent events are, the monitoring officer has asked me to remind councillors, the monitoring officer has the exclusive right to find councillors in breach of the code of conduct. No member of the parish council has the legal authority to carry out a code of conduct investigation or do anything further. So, let's all be clear about this, that if there is a suggestion that a parish councillor has done something wrong to me or to Jack or to anyone else, we do not even have the authority to carry out an investigation. Never mind, go any further. So our bullying and harassment policy needs to reflect that. So, however, next to that matter, I did go onto the South website and I type and look, as you can see, it says that the anti-harassment and bullying policy is validity essential. I've downloaded it. It's attached in the papers. Ian, please don't go into the papers. Please stay up. Yes. Right. So the clerk and the chair will together bring forward a draft policy based on this template for councillors to consider in due course.
Does essential mean mandatory?
No, I don't think it does. It means no. Otherwise,
you really,
it's the same.
Really,
yeah.
So it doesn't say legally. So the answer to the question, do we legally have to have one, is no.
Yes, the answer is legally.
But
yes.
You
don't have to
have
one, no, but it would be a good idea.
Well, anyway, that's all I need to. I think that's all I need to say about that. And then there was a document on there where it was a letter from NALC to the Angela Rayner in her third go or fourth go, I forget which go, of being the minister responsible for such things and saying that the code of conduct system needs improving. That's bullying and harassment. It was only a report with no action. And the last item, which I've got 6 minutes to talk about, should people wish to, is the documents submitted by the LNP group, which are minutes of their meeting and a JLP timetable. Does anyone, or indeed a report verbally from Michael that he might wish to give?
I'll solve the problem very, very quickly. The LNP group don't want to make any comment at all on the minutes or the notes. I don't want to read them out.
that's up to me. Is to have a meeting with you and sort out our problems before our meeting on Tuesday, if possible. It's not me saying it, but the whole team have said to me that I've got to sort it out, Mr. Chairman. I'll sort it out, but I don't want to make any comment on the minutes of the meeting at all.
So we'll meet. So we've got to meet with you?
Huh?
Got to meet with you?
Yeah, well, you know more than me, Jeff. What has happened is not all one-sided, because some of the comments that have been taken out of the minutes were organised by the clerk and me, and some of them were authorised. So I just want to get with the clerk, because he does a good job sorting my minutes out, because even you come and you proofread my emails. And I want it to stop. So I think.
You want it to?
I want it to stop.
What?
All this.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
I want it to stop, so I suggested to the group, Alison might know, because she never reads a bloody email anyway. I'd like to have a meeting with the clerk yourself if you're about.
I would be available Monday if you want to have a chat on Monday.
Yeah, if you sort it out Monday and someone just give you a time.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere Monday.
No, should we call it? I agree. Should we call it a halt there at 21:26?
Absolutely.
I just got off one question. The dialogue that Carol Reeve had outside of the meeting, which was inappropriate, I thought that had some relationship to the
It was related to the minutes of the parish council.
I know that, yes.
Right. It related to the interaction of the neighbourhood plan group to the Freedom of Information Act request that we had.
Yeah, I'm just wondering why they didn't come from
no.
And I will apologise that it was inappropriate.
Yeah. So can let the chair speak.
Yeah, I'll apologise it was inappropriate, but I needed, as Michael says, we need to stop the
because
I've had it from four directions for the last 2 weeks, and it was like, we need it to stop now. It needs to stop. So that's why I let him speak. Yes, but that was why.
Can we close the meeting now?
We can close the meeting. Thank you, everybody.